call the meeting to order. Dr. Fritz.
Lord, we come to you tonight asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion, allow us to grow closer as a group, and nurture the bonds of community. Fill us with grace as we make decisions that affect the students, faculty, staff, alumni, and friends of SCF. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Browdy, any comment?
We do not have any public comments, sir, no.
All right, thank you. President Gregory's report.
Thank you, Chairman. A few things to note for today. Unfortunately, but a happy, sad occasion, this will be Dr. Fritch's last board meeting. So maybe we have some comments about that at the end, but he's going on to be a university president in West Alabama. We're very excited for him, very sad to see him go. He's done amazing things for State College of Florida over the last 7 years. So we wish you Godspeed, Dr. Fritch.
Thank you.
We just completed, as you all know, another great year, a great semester, another graduation ceremony last week. I appreciate everyone there and really just a wonderful, wonderful demonstration from our students, what they can overcome and still achieve in the face of hurricanes, and the faculty and staff, not just to pull off that wonderful ceremony, but what they did to keep the students on track through those weeks that we were closed and went virtual. A lot of work went into that behind the scenes, but I think you'll all agree it was worth it to see their faces and their expressions and their family members last Friday night. Other than that, we have an update from many of you asked some great questions, and we're happy to see the wonderful work of the State College of Florida Collegiate School. So we have an update from Ms. Kelly Minot.
Next up.
Ready? Yep. So I brought my team with me. Hi, everyone. Hi. Hi.
Hello.
That you're giving us here to introduce you to the Collegiate School or reintroduce you to the Collegiate School. Other people presenting and get stuck. And here I am presenting. Okay, there we go. So my name is Kelly Minot. I am the Associate Vice President of the Collegiate Schools, and I would like to introduce you to my team. This is, I'm going to introduce you to him, show you the photo. We're all leaning slightly left here. This is Karen Llewellyn. She is our head of school on the Bradenton campus. This is Dr. Karen Peck. She's the head of school on the Venice campus. And we also have our director of curriculum and instruction here on the Bradenton campus, Kristen Waters, who's in our audience, along with Ms. Hathaway, one of our director's graduate students. I just want to pause here 1 minute with this team. Why we talked to you today about the Collegiate School in the next 11 slides or so. I want you to remember that we've all been here forever, it seems like, a really long time. I started in 2010, opening the Collegiate School. I started as a social studies teacher. Karen Llewellyn started in 2011 as a math teacher. Kristen Goddard started in 2012 as a English language arts teacher. Dr. Peck came in with teaching experience, academic administrator, 2013.
Yeah.
So we are a strong team. We've been here for a long time. We can answer any questions. I want to also start with some recognitions and accolades because I feel like that we've done a lot of work and we just want to share how proud we are. We are graded as a K-12 institution by the Florida Department of Education, and both schools have gotten an A grade every year as long as we have been eligible for them. We're a high-performing charter, which means that if we'd like to replicate our charter, we can at any time, in any county. We are a school of excellence, which means that our A grade has put us in the 80th percentile of all of the schools in Florida, including the SCS Bradenton campus was asked to apply for the National Blue Ribbon School Award, and we got that in 2016. So,
and hopefully the Venice will be asked. will be asked soon.
Yeah, if you know anybody.
I wrote it down.
The teachers are really why we are such a fantastic school. We are absolutely student-centered. Our teachers are experts in their field. They are rated highly effective by FLDOE. Of our 32 instructors, 23 of them have master's degrees or are earning master's degrees this year. They are content rich, which means that they are fantastic in the classroom because they're not worrying about content. They can concentrate on teaching. They can concentrate on differentiation. The Florida Charter Institute's a new institute, Miami-Dade College. We were selected as the first year of the founding fellows. They came to our school last week. They learned all about us. And they're going to publish things about us and use us as a model for other schools in the city. Also, Congressman Burr Buchanan, he gave us congressional awards for our teachers in 2018, 2020, 2024. You can find that in the congressional record. You can find this Karen Llewellyn in the congressional record, which is pretty cool. Our mission is very simple. We are here to make sure that students are able to be prepared to start new enrollments in 11th grade and graduate with an associate in arts degree upon the graduation. We have many tenets that we follow. We have a very specific program that we've worked on for many years, but these are really the four areas that I want to highlight tonight. We want to make sure that our school is student-centered. I'm going to say that you're going to hear that student-centered, that there's a lot of rigor, that curriculum is relevant, that we have a going to college culture, and we have support for our students. We want to have a home base so that they know what to do when they need help. In this slide, this is a brief introduction of our student body. This one is in Bradenton. The FLDOE, they have made a website for all schools to look at big data. And what they've done is they've created a school report card for every school employee. You can look at anyone. This is what ours says from 2023-2024. This was after the state exams in May. So you can have a little idea of what's going on with our student body in Bradenton. So one thing I'd like to bring your attention to is our enrollment. In middle school, we can have 66 seats. In high school, we can have 75 seats. In Bradenton, we are fully at capacity. Where we can grow is in 11th grade because we can bring in other dual enrolled students. So as long as they qualify for our program, then we can absolutely bring them in. We typically don't bring in seniors because the college has early college. We would like them to go to early college. They won't finish in the A degree in 1 year.
Kelly?
Yeah.
So if I'm doing the math right, is the ballpark, the average class size, 24 students?
Yeah, 22 in middle school, 25 in high school.
How does that compare to public schools?
It's the same.
It's the same?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our grades are small. They stay at 66 for middle school, for all of sixth grade, for example, 75 for high school. So they say it's a smaller class size. It's just a smaller grade level.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And please feel free to jump in. This chart has a lot going on here. So let me try and break it down. Of our students who completed the state testing, we have two points of data. One is the English language learner assessment, grade 6 through 10, and one is the math assessment, also grade 6 through 10. The top bar is the collegiate school on both of them. The middle bar is Manatee County, and the last bar is Florida as a whole. The students come in at a level 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Level 1 and 2 are below level. Level 3, 4, and 5 start with the greens and go to the blue. And that is on level and above. So right now, our students in English language arts last year, they are about 78% proficient and beyond. In math, they're about 90% proficient and beyond, which is some of the same scores that you saw in the last board packet. For Venice, we did the same overview of the student population, a little bit different. still a small school. They have 400 seats. We have 500 seats in Bradenton at capacity. Last year, they only had 15 graduates. That was when we were still bringing in students that were just simply dual enrolled without going through the program. This year, we have our first graduating class that came in ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
54 students are going to graduate. And there's a lot of room to grow in Venice. You'll see this bar again for Venice. It's the same situation. Math is on the bottom, English language arts is on the top. We have about 75% of the students in 9th and 10th grade who are proficient and beyond. And we have about 78% in math who are proficient and beyond. And keep in mind, this is just grades 9 and 10. So they don't have quite as many students or quite as much data. And then there was a question about lotteries that I wanted to answer. Again, a lot of information in a brief amount of time, so let me walk you through this graph. Each bar is a grade level. Bradenton is on the left. Venice is on the right. Sixth grade, you can see that the gray part of the bar had 69 students who were accepted, and then there was 58 on the waiting list as of last month. So if you follow that same pattern through the grades, you can see that seventh and eighth grade, the students go forward. We only accepted 4 seats in each grade. And the waiting lists were quite long. In ninth grade, the seat count opens up more. We were able to bring in 29 students. There's a natural attrition between eighth and ninth grade in most cases, but there were still 47 students on the wait list. When you get to 11th grade, 47 students, we probably could have brought most of those students in, but they didn't qualify academically. So all of these students in grades 6 through 10, 9 and 10, they come in without any academic criteria at all. So we work with them and get them secure so that they can be on the college and be successful. For Venice, they had 16 students that could have come in that just weren't academically ready.
Kelly, what percentage of your 6th through 10th graders qualify academically to move into the final 2 years here at the college?
Thank you for that question. So we did a lot of data recently because of the accreditation meetings that we had last week. For the 10th grade, we have about an 80% success rate of students who, by the time they finish 10th grade, will go to the 11th grade. And that's either they don't qualify for either the CERT, which is the college leveling exam, or grade point average, or both. So we will work with students and keep them, even if they're not going to necessarily go onto the college campus. For Venice, I believe that's a much higher number. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably above 90%.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So their college culture is a lot more focused because they only have 2 grades. We have students for 5 years that we can work with, so it's not unusual to know or predict, since we've been here so long, since 2010, 11, 12, or 13, that a student who comes in 6th grade might not be academically ready to be on a college campus at 11th, but we'll still work with that student. They're still going to get their education. They're going to go on and do great things. For a student who comes in 6th grade, there's about a 50% chance of them coming all the way through the 10th grade. For 9th grade, I don't have that number. Probably, I'm going to say 80%. It's really high.
Yeah, it is. It's really high. Yeah. I'd say 82%.
Kelly. Let me ask a question.
Of course.
For a child that doesn't make the grade at on 10th, where does he go? Like the public system?
Mm-hmm. They do. And we help them with that transition. I mean, oftentimes we're asked about what program they might be most successful with. I mean, obviously, if they've been with us for any amount of time, we're a pretty small environment. We're very hands-on. So having those types of transitional conversations is important.
And I understand, reading through the lines, we test these students before we allow them to come into 6th grade?
No. Only 11.
So we have a number, an X amount we'll take, regardless of grades, but once we hit that ceiling, we cannot have any more children. Is that correct?
That's right, Rob.
So the 60% that make it all the way through, mm-hmm. they just happen to have the right academic capabilities by chance?
They have a good attitude. I think that we help them with their academic ability if it's not a natural progression for them. But they, it, I think that Karen are going to talk a little bit about that right now, because it is a bit of a struggle. There's some big goals there to say that we're going to take the student who might be very much below academic ability, and we're going to work with them all the way, with the goal of them starting, you know, their AA degree. So these are some of...
Kelly?
Yeah.
Before you move on, Britt, did you have a question?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, just a clarification point on the entrance into ninth grade, Dennis. Mm-hmm. So the 19 that we're waiting, that is because we didn't have enough spots, or is it because they didn't qualify for the program?
They didn't have enough spots.
Yeah, we didn't have enough spots. So at least there is, at this point in time, more demand for the Venice campus than for our spaces.
Okay. Yeah, last year was the first year we had a waiting list in Venice, so it was a good day.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
I'm going to step back for just a second. You can be the clicker. That would be great. Okay, so, you know, looking at the data points that we just gave, and even the diversity of the makeup of our population, it takes a lot, to your point, to get these students, especially from sixth grade, through the program, and we do that through our going to college culture, which is one of our most important tenets. And by doing that with that culture, it's educating not just the student about the going to college experience, but their families as well. So one of the ways that we do that is through our coaching class. We have an academic coaching class that is a common course that all students take. They're enrolled in sixth grade, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth. It's on every one of their schedules. And then similarly, when they're out on the college campus, that academic coaching transitions to what we call a seminar class, which is a point in their schedule where they meet with our academic advisor once a week to stay connected to the collegiate school and to help support that student out on campus. So some of what we do in that coaching class is really focus on the student and executive functioning skills, those soft skills, the things that they need to be not just successful academically, but what they need to be successful both in and outside of the classroom. So those same time management skills, goal setting, reflection, communication, professionalism. Those college-ready skills that they need. And so what we do is keep those same common themes for a sixth grader, and again, what would that look like for a seventh grader to be successful at the collegiate school? What's that look like for a tenth grader, right? In our seminar classes, it's about communicating effectively with a college professor, understanding the demands of the college application process, taking them through financial aid, helping them to understand FlexSpace, all of those components that are going to they're going to need to in order to be not just successful but competitive, going off and matriculating to a four-year university where our students are stepping into 3,000 level classes and they're 17 and 18 years old. Yes.
So I just want to go back to the sixth grade.
Sure.
So the kids that are on the waiting list, the kids that get in, it's not through testing or qualifications. First come, first serve, is our goal to raise that 60% higher, the graduation rate?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
But when do you say, hey, this kid's not going to make it? Is it like by the seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, and that I will say is student by student. We talk a lot about culture at our school, and what that takes is buying an investment from the families as well. So, oftentimes a family might find us for a variety of reasons. For some of them, it is that going to college mentality. For some of them, it is you're not a district school. That being said, the pieces that we're talking about with each one of those students is unique. For some students, they may turn out in the seventh grade. High school is another point in time that is a typical conversation for some students that might find themselves at an impasse of, well, do I want to be at the collegiate school in this small environment? Do I want something larger where I feel maybe I can be offered a few other different resources? Although
I will say that we have great partnership with the district schools for things like sports, music programs, things that maybe we can't offer under our own roof.
And I think just to add to what Karen was saying, and at Venice, we only have 2 years to prepare our students for college. So we just have 9th and 10th grade. And that is their student's official transcript. That's when it starts in 9th grade. So we tend to work with the student a little bit more towards the beginning of their 10th grade year just to see if they're on the path to be able to make that 3.0 GPA and pass that PERN test. In addition to what Karen was talking about, the culture and the coaching and the curriculum, we do have a teacher mentor program that was developed in-house by our incredible teachers. And it's a 2-year program with the desire to create a 3-year program. And teacher mentoring is for all teachers, whether it's your first year of teaching or whether you're a veteran teacher of 10 years. And it is an opportunity for us to work with the teacher, to collaborate, to communicate with the teacher, to help them in the classroom from the very beginning, and to guide them and lead them with our tenets and our model of teaching for the collegiate school. We also have incredible college collaboration. On the Venice campus, we are involved in additional campus activities. I am invited to the campus administrators' meetings down there. We have several teachers that are adjunct professors, and for example, we have our English 2 teacher, who's a 10th grade teacher, is also an ENC 1101 adjunct professor on the campus down there, so she can directly bring back to her own classroom the experiences that she has in the college classroom as well.
Right, nothing prepares a student for going to college than being in a school that is offered on a college campus. And through the generosity of our college partners, our students are in the science labs in as early as 9th grade. They're utilizing the library facilities even in 6th grade. We have our PE facilities right here on campus. We're constantly moving out and about in the community, and we're very welcomed. And immediately, I think it starts to put in the student's mind that, you know, this is not your traditional public school. They're on a college campus.
And additional supports that we have for our students, we do have a school counselor at both campuses, and even our school counselor on the Venice campus is also an adjunct professor. She starts in January.
Yeah. So the administrative support I get here is fantastic. It really lets me know what money I'm allowed to spend. Dr. Fritz has been an amazing supervisor and mentor, and I think still for like another 10 minutes or so. So I still got a question. But we're able to walk into any office. Facilities has been our best friend.
Yes.
And public safety.
Yeah.
And they're our biggest fans. They really
are. Keep them busy, you're probably then.
We've been able to get the gym for our basketball game. That's coming up in January, even the new floor. So we thank the college for everything they've done. And Human Resources, who's hiring our teachers.
Yes, thank you.
this is a hard slide to follow, and I was trying to think of the best way to do this. So I'm going to just kind of give an overview of what's happening here. The college program and seminar, the first year is dedicated to their junior, and their junior year is dedicated to what it means to be a college student on campus. They walk through 2 semesters, they do their own schedules. They get used to just being on campus. They go on campus tours. This is FGCU on the top for the Gulf Coast, and then New College. We have 3 colleges and universities that have scholarships for our students. So if they get into Florida Gulf Coast, they get 3 years of tuition with this articulation agreement. If they get into New College, they get 3 years of tuition so that they can finish their degree. And New College just upped their scholarship, so they're our best friends right now. USF, Sarasota Manatee, always also has an articulation with us for 2 years, free tuition. That said, in these bars, you see the left bar in each section is 2022, the middle bar is 2023, and the last bar is 2024. So our graduating class in 2022 was 78, 23 was 66, and 24 was 76. These are how many people actually responded, because sometimes when they're seniors, they don't do their homework. So a gone to a four-year university, many of those because we have the scholarship appropriation. As of May 1st, when it was graduation, we didn't get the summer data, but about half of those, or a little more than half of those students had university scholarships, and almost a little more than a third had Bright Futures. And Bright Futures is an academic scholarship from Florida, which is based on SAT and GPA, and a grade point average. So 2023, we had a smaller class. Almost 60 of them, of the 62 respondents, are attending a four-year university. Again, 76 in 2024, we have almost 70 attending. So the amount of time that we can spend with the students in seminar and helping them write their college essays and helping them get all sorts of letters of recommendation is incredibly important for their success afterwards.
Kelly,
yes.
Question. Okay. Comment and a question. Comment is, and this is really for all of you, I really believe that the collegiate program is one of the crown jewels of SCF, and I brag on it all the time. And so it's, I think you're doing a great service to our community. Secondly, which leads to the question, in your opinion, what type of demand do you think we would see on our parish campus, and at what point do we look as an institution to fire the collegiate program up in parish?
That is a great question.
Oh.
So,
wow. They just gave that to you, didn't they?
No. She slipped me a piece of paper.
I was wondering.
I appreciate that, and it does go into our last slide, which I did. I purposely put these kind of goofball pictures up here because I want you to remember that they are students, and they do silly things, and they're still.
Chris is saying yes, they do.
But normally, if you came to the school, which I invite you all to do, it, and if they're in uniform, they look very professional. They will talk to you and look at your eyes. They will tell you exactly what's happening in their classroom. They will not tell a lie, so ask them anything, because they're very, very honest. So in parish, what we're doing now is we're doing a lot of research to see what is the best way to write that charter. So we're looking at a STEM focus. There's been a lot of new charters coming out with the opportunity for AS degrees as well as AA degrees. So we're looking at those schools that have just started with some grants from the state in the past 2 years. So we visited, Chris and I visited St. Pete Collegiate STEM School a few weeks ago to see what's going on there. Florida Southwestern has a STEM school. It's a very different model. And we have plans to see what else is going on, to see where their successes lie and what some of their barriers are. So right now we're doing all of that research. I think there's great demand. I think that if we are focusing on nursing and health services, then there's going to be some automatic ways to weave in the collegiate school on the first campus that are going to be fantastic. So another 10 years. It's going to be great. I'll give you a presentation about how it's done. But that's a great question. So that's the future in parish.
For Bradenton, our homework backwards.
Yeah.
For Bradenton, I mean, our physical footprint is kind of fleshed out at this point for grades 6 through 10. So we have a real focus to really grow 11th grade as an opportunity for us. Another unique thing that we're looking at is actually working with part-time and homeschool students, too, to bring them in for showcase specific courses at the collegiate school. We can enroll them as a part-time student, which, you know, has a lot of benefits, including possible future enrollment with them coming into the 11th grade from maybe a homeschool program, come to us in 11th grade, and of course, student funding comes right along with that, so it's a hand-in-hand, it's a win-win.
And for Venice, I just want to let you know that the student that has the cones on his head, he's a junior, so he made it into our program with his GPA. That was when he was a ninth grade freshman, newly into our school. The Venice campus is awesome and beautiful, and we have a lot of room for growth on that campus. Although our portables that we call cottages now, because they've been renovated twice, we would like some additional space down on the Venice campus, maybe to have our own building. But we also have, there's a couple of new K-8 schools in Sarasota County, South Sarasota County, that we feel very confident that we have a relationship with them, that they'll send their students right over to us. One of those goals is you can see and hear the students playing right from our portables down on the Venice campus. So we do have plenty of room to grow. We also have a home education population in South County as well. And I think we pull a lot of homeschool students from Northport. And so once we get into that community, like we've already started, then our enrollment will increase. So we do have also another opportunity for our junior class to grow from the homeschool students that are in South County.
I'm interested in, do you follow your students once they've gone to the university? And the reason I'm saying that, we're turning out 17 and 18-year-old juniors in college. Are they well-rounded? Are they emotionally ready to step in as juniors in college? And if not, what are we doing to accomplish that?
So that question, that question was answered at Florida Gulf Coast a little while ago because we had a two-year scholarship for the students, or they had a two-year scholarship, and they increased that to 3 years because they have recognized we're not the only dual enrollment high school that feeds into this institution. Florida Southwestern does, and they've got their own program. So they've noticed that a maturity issue mindset is really important, and they've been able to slow down their credits, so they might go in as juniors, but they've been able to slow them down on their pathways a little bit, so they've got more time to explore the college campus, learn how to do laundry, and take care of all, get involved and have a real college experience, because the two-year was extremely fast, and they're finding a lot more success with it. New College also went to a three-year model. So we're hearing echoes of that. But you've asked the same question that our accreditation team asked, is how can we keep looking at these students to see how their progress is so that we can identify how to support them here before they go out there?
All three of us have had students go through the program.
Oh, yes.
And I think that has given us a better idea of how to help our students because we live with them. So I think that's been very helpful to use our own experience to help nurture the students, basically. We do, again, I'm going to really emphasize the support that we provide all of our students all the way through graduation. And I think just being able to have that additional support for our students makes them more successful at a four-year institution.
My son's taken 4 years at a four-year institution.
Brian?
Because he really likes school.
Yeah, I can speak to that too because I have two boys that attended SCF, and one of them graduated from he's in one of your numbers, the graduation, completed SCF Collegiate School here, and he came in as a junior out of Manatee High School. His mother and I, one of our concerns was just he's going to be accelerated, he's going to be in the real world within 2 years faster than everybody else. And so he did not go to FGCU, or he went on to Florida State. And at the time, his particular program of choice only offered a certain time period. And University of Florida offered the same program at a different time period. So I think from the evolution part of it, I think college and universities are starting to recognize that these kids need a little bit more time to adopt to the situation, even though for the program. So he got out pretty fast at Florida State, and at 22 years old, what are we going to do with our life? So I think that's not an exact science, but it is. It should be great testing, should be great experiment. Ask these universities, because my son did stuff, or he did, he didn't grow up fast enough. I mean, he grew up too fast, and he didn't get to enjoy college. He didn't get to enjoy that scene, and I think that's really important. So he's been going back and back and costing us a lot more money.
He saved a lot too, though.
Yeah, he did. He did. But I can tell you, as a junior in high school, the one thing that it did prepare him for example, and I don't know if you know this, but on the collegiate school, the junior senior level, they are treated almost identical as college students. So as a junior in high school, so they make their own schedule with the guidance counselors. They can sleep in and go to class at 10. They can leave at 2, go to lunch off campus. They're treated just like college kids. So From that angle, they are learning how what the college life is like to a certain degree. But again, they're still 16 and 17 years old kids.
If you had to do it over again, would you do it again?
Yeah, educational wise, it was top notch. I mean, he graduated on top of, he's probably one of the top of those kids. And, you know, from it definitely put him, because as you know, certain universities require certain grade point averages and certain testing and accolades. And he, through the Cleveland School, was able to obtain those. And I think he went to the front of the list at Florida State and University of Florida because of his accolades. I think at Manatee High School, he wouldn't have gotten. He still would have graduated pretty good. But I just think that there's a counterweight, and it gives you an advantage. I think it's one of the reasons why St. Stephen's does so well, you know, with getting their kids to a higher education. I think there's a higher weight that's attached to the accelerated. If you can excel as a junior, senior in high school at those types of programs, college campuses, the bigger schools want you. It helps their graduation, helps their finance, figure, you know, from the state. I mean, that's right. I mean, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it does.
Absolutely.
I appreciate your feedback. I think it's great. The question's been answered that it is on your minds, and you take steps to help. And that's all I'm really trying to get at.
Yeah.
This is a situation that every individual student will be ready at different times, right. But you're helping them. And the young man in the right corner probably needs a little bit more help.
One of the things that we are looking at is starting to focus on our own alumni and starting to try and identify, bring them back into the community, because it really is a unique experience to be a collegiate school student, and they need those types of supports. And now we have enough of graduating
ten years
of graduating classes, so we have several students who are out in the community being successful adults. I actually had a very unique experience to be on the field trip last Friday with all of our middle school to Busch Gardens, and one of our chaperones was a 2019 graduate of ours who happens to now be his older sibling, one of our students. And so I was talking to her about that and you know, where she is now and how she's really trying to help her sister in the program. And as she said, if I can do this, I know any of them can do that. So hearing that voice that knows the experience is something, another resource that we want to be investing in.
If we asked you to expand your Worthington campus, not the campus, but your number of students, what would you reply back to us as the board that you would need?
It's a hard question, yeah. Because to bring in one more student in a middle school environment, you need three more classes, four more teachers, another building, another guidance counselor.
Money.
So the way the scheduling and everything works right now, to add one more student, you would have to bring in 66 more students per grade just to kind of balance out the capacity. Probably that's the wrong numbers. But the idea is that because of the class size restrictions, it's either all or nothing. So you can bring in one.
All right, President Gregory, last question.
Last question. Thank you. Great presentation. I do want to go back to the question from Trustee Fuller. And I know you're still collecting data and visiting other collegiate schools, which I really appreciate. But the timing and sort of recommendation, if you're ready now to talk about it, as we look at Parrish and you know what the phase one development plans are, as you think about timing, if we're going to do a collegiate school at Parrish, where would you place it in terms of development, and what grades would you start with?
I think we would follow the Venice model and start with 11th and 12th grade. It's harder to get students, obviously, but it helps us iron out all of the barriers and things that kind of come up with a new collegiate school. So you don't need a lot of space. You need some administrative offices. You need a program and a charter, which would take a year to 18 months. And then you can recruit right away from very little. St. Pete's Collegiate School, the STEM school, they started with nuts and bolts, really. They inherited a building later. They got 9th to 10th grade later, but they were able to promote their charter within a year. Yeah, because they also got a really nice grant, and if they waited any longer, they would have lost some money with it. So they started early, and they were able to take that seed and let it grow. So does that, I don't know if that answers your question.
Good, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Great presentation.
I really appreciate your time. You gave us so much time today.
Thank you. Thank you.
We were going to take 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And it turned into a half hour.
Wonderful.
So really,
well,
thank
we really
you
appreciate
much.
You and the work you're doing, and the results stand for themselves. And
yeah,
we owe it all to you. So
yeah,
our chance to say thank you to you too.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. And please feel free to come over anytime.
Come visit.
The kids would love to talk to you.
Yeah.
It's too late now. Do it.
Missed the moment.
Mr. Chairman, Julie's information only.
Pardon?
Julie's information only.
Oh, yeah.
Number 7.
Yeah. We're not there yet, but I actually have it crossed off. I'm on now.
Right, we're not.
It's the only way I can stop from saying it. Okay. Approval of non-financial consent agenda items. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Next, approval of financial consent agenda items. Is there a motion to approve?
I'd like to pull O, please.
Okay. Pulling O. Anybody else want to pull anything? Okay. Is there a motion to approve the remainder?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Mark?
Direct your attention to page 53 in this grant proposal. First of all, I want to make sure that Sanchez Memorial Hospital brought you their check. Is that part of, included in this $435,000?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it was?
Okay. Yes,
thank
sir.
You. And speaking with Tammy, Dr. Sommel, as you know, we've increased our nursing staff, our nursing students by double. And we started that last September. And it required us to hire new professors. We are still 2 professors short. I'm wondering how we're doing in trying to acquire those professors. What it's done is we gave them the students, but we didn't give them the professors. So it's being they're being stretched right now. So are we recruiting somehow, or do we know?
We are. And they just had some failed searches, but they do have searches ongoing. We actually have had some departures, so there are additional searches ongoing, mostly for personal issues. And so it's a
yeah, she assures me that everything, their education is not being
not
challenged,
yep.
But they're having to work extremely hard because of the lack of
yep.
of professors. So I urge us to keep on to that because we've kind of put them in a spot.
Absolutely.
Basically,
are.
I put them in a spot, but anyway. Thank you. I'll move that O be accepted.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion passes. On to facilities. Ms. Wellman, please.
Are you asking for more money?
No.
Didn't know you can't have it.
I want to say facilities really appreciate the Puget School students. just real quickly, I've got 2 items for tonight. One is just an update on our recovery efforts from Hurricane Milton. And then I've got several miscellaneous capital projects I'm looking for board approval on. Well, last month, the board approved gave us authority to proceed with not to exceed $6 million in whatever projects it was going to take to address the damage from the hurricane. Things are going really well. We have a whole lot of activity going on. And as I said last month, we've probably got 100 different little separate efforts going. A couple of the big items, one was the Belfour recovery effort, and we're starting to get those numbers in. But our big one I want to bring to your attention is the Garland Company.
17, 23 degrees cooler off. We got temp roofing up. This is the permanent fix. We're going back on with modified bitumen. It's the best roof assembly you can go with the flat roof system. So on the payment of $1 million, it's over $1.3 million. We're piggybacking off the state Omnia contract. So we got buildings of one in this building, the roof's going right now. We'll finish up at the end of the calendar year, finish up one. That crew didn't start on our building, 23. Move over to 17. We'll wait for President's inauguration, make sure that's done and finished, and then we'll step in and knock out building 11. But we're in good shape to have permanent roofs on before the rainy season, so we're in good shape there. Between now and the next board meeting in January, I'm going to have a good handle on all costs. And we're kind of landing in that right now, just over $3 million range versus the $6 million range. And I'll bring a detailed summary of whether it's expensive or going at the January meeting. So things are going really well there from that perspective. Then we got our six capital projects. So any capital project with a budget over $150,000 requires board approval. So we've got our building 2 radiography. That's replacing a 20-year-old plus x-ray machine. There's a whole lot of infrastructure that's got to go in to support that machine. While we're in there, we'll get at the finishes, the lighting systems and everything. It's just a lot of that is on our deferred maintenance, so it's just an opportunity to grab that. It's $408,000, $268,000 from our capital reserve, and then for the Perkins grant they're going to go after, that'll buy the equipment piece of it. And I will have to say, all these budgets, we started no design work, so we're taking our best shot, being conservative at what we think we need from a budget standpoint. Again, any contracts that come in over the $325,000, we'll bring it back to the board for approval. Building 29 nursing auditorium upgrade. That's about 169-seat auditorium. It's big, 2,800 square feet. And that's describing everything, audio, video, lighting. We're going to power up the furniture. And it's a big area. And we'd end up having to go into that and grab it in the summer time frame, get that knocked out. Again, it's all aged. It's a workhorse, so and it falls on our deferred maintenance also. We got building 28 occupational therapy, physical therapy. This is mechanical systems upgrade for the building. We got $300,000, again, coming from capital reserve. It's not only air handlers, it's controls, it's valving, piping, outside air dampers. And again, all over 20 years old, again, on our deferred maintenance list. We have building 26, science building. These are walk-in laboratory refrigeration for experiment refrigeration storage. We've got two of them. We've got $165,000 budget, again, coming out of capital reserve over 20 years. And then we've got a three-court tournament, sand volleyball court. I'm carrying $250,000. The budget's less than that, based on where we're looking to site it, which is west of the tennis courts. We're going to want to bring that elevation up, so I've added a little bit of money in there for additional fill. Whether we're going to light it or not, I need to wait and see what the money comes in at, whether we're going to put some seating out there. So I'm carrying a little heavy number there at $250,000. Right now we're planning to use, starting July 1, CIF, capital improvement team. We are going to go to the SABR Student Activities Budget Review Committee and see if they're willing to fund a piece of that. We haven't got approval on that yet, but we have plenty of CIF starting July 1 to cover that. And it would support both intramural program and our athletics, our sand volleyball team. And then the last thing I've got is, it's 20 years, 30, probably 35-year-old weight room. Nick can contest to that. It's just tired. And this is looking at taking down a wall, enlarging it. It's addressing the equipment that's in there, the mechanical systems in that space, what kind of outside air we're bringing in. Right, that's one of our original buildings. And that's from the general student population, not just our student athletes. And it's the same, but we got plenty of CIF to cover it July 1, but again, we'll go to the state of emergency if you want to fund a piece of that. I've got enough money to get design started, if the board approves it, so we get that going first of the calendar year, and then construction would implement after we go into the new fiscal year. So, we have a total of $2.3 million, and requesting board approval for these six projects.
Is that one motion to cover them all?
Yes.
Okay.
One comment. I went here in 1989 through 1991 in athletics, and it's the same weight room that I'm in. I'm 53 now. If it gives you any indication how old the weight room and weights are. So,
they get time. Are they heavier now?
Flintstones. Flintstones.
I just toured the Sky Ranch K-8 school down south, and the middle school has a weight room. So I feel like if we're going to do it, we got to do it right at SEO.
Yeah, no, no doubt.
Middle schoolers have weight.
It's so small the students can't get in there. It's not relative anymore.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to adopt the projects as laid out here.
I second it.
All right, it's motion and second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those
in favor. I do have a question. What's the electrical to the fixed seating look like? I mean, is that like outlets or is that USBs?
Well, the great news is, what's the power to it?
Yeah.
It'd be a combination of your phone charger, your laptop charging, plus just a regular duplex receptor. So we have a variety. Powered furniture options there. Actually, the junction boxes are stubbed up underneath the furniture now, which is a beautiful thing, versus us having a solid cut the floor, so we just found that out.
Sorry, any other conversation? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Thank you, Chris. All right, we have a rule for final action here. Mr. Prouty, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a revision to the college's retirement enhancement plan rule. The revisions proposed to this rule are required because of the college becoming part of the state group insurance program, SGIP. As a member of the state group insurance program, the college is required by law to cease offering the life insurance component and the healthcare subsidy component that were formerly parts of the REP. As revised, the REP will continue to provide the enhanced sick leave payout that's already provided in here. That's not affected by our joining the state group insurance program. That, in a nutshell, is what is proposed with this rule of revision.
Okay, thank you. Public notice having been given for the final rule for final action, Exhibit V, Rule Allen Sign 6HX14-2.41, Retirement Enhancement Plan. The public hearing is now open. Are there any public comments? All right, seeing none, the public hearing is now closed, and Exhibit B is V, ready for final action by the board. Is there any discussion by board members? Okay, hearing none, then is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Cassandra, SCF Foundation update.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So our fiscal year started on October the 1st, and our fiscal year will end on September 30th of 2025. If we look at our fundraising achievement as of yesterday, were $1,012,000, which which is $183,000 above what we did last year. And it's due to a lot of good efforts to those in this room and those in the audience that continue to support the foundation in some really challenging fundraising times as we were in a national election where a lot of the charitable giving does get diverted to political campaigns. And then, of course, we had those nasty hurricanes, and it gets moved to disaster recovery efforts, which are near and dear to us as well. We are very appreciative to those that supported the foundation during the annual scholarship luncheon. Seeing you there supporting the students, we had a 36-year-old adult learner present her nursing story and how she is going to be graduating in May. So it was very inspiring to hear from that student and all that she had persevered and overcome in her lifetime. And at 36 years old, as a single female with two sons that she's raising, she's performing marvelously, and she has a very high GPA. So that particular event, our net profit was $191,000. It is the most successful scholarship luncheon that we have ever had since I've worked here. Last year we did $151,000. Mm-hmm. And so it was a really wonderful challenge. Our cash paddle raise did have an up to $50,000 match, which really spurred that cash paddle raise into the levels we have never seen during the annual scholarship luncheon. And so I thank you for those that contributed to that during the luncheon, because it was quite successful. The cash paddle raise, its fundraising achievement was $121,000. So that is very significant. If we look at Giving Tuesday, our goal was $7,000 with a $3,500 match from one of our board members, and we achieved $12,000 that day. So those gifts were primarily from our employees and our alumni that are just starting to learn about their giving journey at State College of Florida Foundation. So that's very exciting. That was December the 3rd. And then what I'd really like you to focus on today is your sponsorships and your participation, because we are having inauguration on February the 7th. And so the ceremony will start at 2 p.m. And then there is an inauguration dinner at 5:30. And so at 5:30, you can go ahead and make your reservations by looking at this QR code. And you can also look at sponsorships. The tickets are $250. And we are, you can do that at your leisure. And you can also go in and register for the 2 p.m. ceremony. Susan will guide you as to your participation as far as the 2 p.m. ceremony, because you will have some things that you will be doing in that area.
It's a roast, right?
It is not
yeah.
a roast.
I'm in charge.
We will have a champagne toast, but not a roast. And we will have a lot of surprise. The committee is made up with really passionate community members that are so excited about this inauguration. It is only our seventh time in doing this. So it really is something that we want to really honor President Gregory and really kind of push forward at the dinner the community that is really celebrating State College of Florida at that time. So I'm really looking forward. And then at the conclusion, I don't know if you know, but Taylor Collins volunteered to be a female featured in Women on the Scene magazine. And we were so excited that you agreed to that, along with our board president, Laura Cota. So thank you so much, Taylor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's my report for today.
All right. Thank
Great
you,
work.
Sandra.
Great work.
Yep. All right. That moves us on to old business. Is there any old business before the board here? Seeing none. New business. I want to mention that we don't have board comments on here anymore, but we want board comments, I think. So if that can fall back on after new business, that'd be great. Is there any new business to discuss? Trustees? All right, seeing none. We'll move on to board comments. And we're going to have to start with a new board member one way or the other here, so we'll start with Jamie.
Specifically?
Whatever comments. You don't have to have any comments.
Oh, okay. Really enjoyed the collegiate presentation. Mm-hmm. I think obviously we all leaned in on that for a half hour. I'd like to learn a little bit more about that.
Oh, they'll be happy to teach you.
get an understanding for how it fits into our model. And so it was a great meeting. Thank you.
Great. Mark?
Just that we're losing a tremendous asset in Todd, and we will miss him. I'll miss him personally. We've become very good friends, and I wish him all the best in his new endeavors.
Thank you.
Come back anytime.
Thank you.
Mike?
You're going to enjoy Alabama. I told you that before, so.
Nobody enjoys Alabama.
He's going to come back with an accent.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, there was twang going on, absolutely.
Anyway, so we're happy and proud of you, and best of luck in your new endeavors. And be great to be able to go to football games for your own school, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do that here. And, of course, collegiate school is great. So.
Ryan.
Congrats. Good luck to you. Now, I just, from the collegiate school presentation, that was amazing. That was great. I actually got the chance to go see the Venice campus. I think I walked in one time and said, here I am. But you should go down there and take a look at it. It's pretty cool. If you haven't had a chance to go down to Venice, yeah, I encourage you to go visit the campuses. But collegiate school does a great job. As I said, I'm a living testimony. My son went there, so I'm a big advocate of it. But I just want to make a comment that, you know, since the last few board meetings, obviously we had a little break, but just say that, you know, this is going on a couple of years for me now, and coming in when I did to now, I'm appreciative more of the leadership, and I'm seeing a lot of involvement from all departments, and it's really encouraging to me as an alumni and as a board of trustee to see that we are still moving in a very positive forward vision and direction. I just would like to commend Tommy on setting the bar high, and I think that we're starting to see the results of that. And Chris does a great job, as you can start to see. I mean, to be able to deal with two hurricanes, and we've been through this before, but it seems like Chris has even expedited all this stuff, too. So I'm thrilled to represent such an awesome campus and environment. And to those instructors out there, you know, keep doing. We're working for you guys, and keep the good faith, and, you know, we're going to meet you somewhere.
All right. Taylor?
I have two things. One for Ms. Kristen. Are you looking for any other chaperones for this Germany trip? I'd be happy to volunteer.
It's our first time, so we never know how many we're
Board of Trustees are allowed, right?
Of course.
No, it has to be noticed.
Yeah,
yes. Sustainable living.
It's the moonlight law.
It looks incredible. I am so excited for our students to get to go on that.
Because it's our first time doing this.
It is.
So
hopefully
it just continues to grow. Yeah. This is our initial interest. So.
Because I remember doing it at Riverview. We would always do a Spanish one for the Spanish class. But this, to me, is just so unique and exciting. So I was really excited to see that and support that. And again, if you need anybody to carry your bag, to help. And then, of course, goodbye, Dr. Fritch. We're going to miss you.
Fritch?
I wanted to say how much I enjoyed the commencement exercises last week. That was probably the most joyous commencement experience I have had, even compared to my own. For my high school undergrad and master's. It was a very communal and convivial event that struck the perfect balance between pomp and circumstance and just all-out celebration. Those styrofoam lightsabers were brilliant. Dr. Nielsen, I think, was the one who started that. So I just really loved seeing these individuals and their families experience a major milestone. So I want to commend everyone who went into planning that. And Susan, thank you again for just keeping all the trains running all the time. And I want to thank Dr. Fritsch for making time to meet with me as he was filling up his schedule. I'm just thankful I got to have a download of your brain, but I know that you are only a phone call away and willing to be a resource.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, obviously, goes without saying, we're going to miss Dr. Fritsch. I mean, he's a consummate professional. Can't remember my umpteen years here that there was a question that was asked that he didn't have the answer to right off the top of his head. So, a much larger brain than mine. I'm going to take privilege and I'm going to read into the record a letter that all the trustees have signed to Dr. Fritsch here. It says, congratulations, as you embark on your next adventure, we want to take a moment to wish you all the best. Thank you for the contributions you've made to SCF. We are grateful to you for your years of dedicated service, investment in, and commitment to our college community. Great leaders always make a difference. You made a difference here, and we know that you will make a significantly positive impact as president of the University of West Alabama. We wish you every success in your future endeavors. Your colleagues there are lucky to have you. Farewell and best of luck. All right, seeing nothing else, we are adjourned.